Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, Paul Hamilton has been covering NHL drafts for quite some time, but this one looks a lot different because he's down at the Bills media room. I asked you the other day, Paul, about what it's like seeing some people down there. You're like, you know what? They've never really been down here before. What's the vibe? What's the feeling going down to One Bills Drive, not only with the media, but from the team standpoint of being down there and how they're treating this situation?
Yeah, well, we're not quite down there yet as for today. We right. open up the room around 5, and then the first round gets going around 7 o'clock. But, yeah, it was a lot of the vibe, as I told you, was just the media looking around going, yeah, all right. Yeah, this is what a media room looks like. Okay, cool. You know, type of a thing. So, and I think the Sabres are just as excited. You know, it wasn't really their idea to go down there. I think it was more maybe Pete Quellew who just said, why not? Hey, guys, you want to come down? I mean, we have this room that's specially made for this purpose.
Yep.
It's here. We use it. And and as Kevin Adams said, he jumped at the chance once it was presented to him. And why wouldn't he?
No doubt about it. Sabres and the rest of the NHL get going tonight. 7 p.m. is when the draft kicks off and starts. And, of course, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And you can hear Paul and follow his reports at PHAM1717 on social and WGR550.com. Okay, Paul, you and I have discussed many times that we would prefer the Sabres to trade the number 9 overall pick. It's easier said than done. A lot of times, as people point out, you're not going to quite get the value there. Where do you land still today on how aggressive they should be to try to move this pick?
Oh, very. You know, last year, nobody traded their first-round pick, which is very – usually somebody does. The Sabres moved down but actually trade the pick. I mean, many teams were supposed to be trading their pick, but nobody did. I would still, if I were the Buffalo Sabres, be doing that. But is that a trend now? Is that a trend where, you know, people don't trade their picks anymore and they hold on to them? You know, we're only going to know after this draft and maybe a couple of more that, well, people don't trade their picks anymore. You know how pro sports goes and how those trends tend to go. But I certainly, if I were the Buffalo Sabres, be looking to acquire, as we've talked about yesterday. You have now, you know, they've got the defenseman they were looking for. Now they have a hole, in my mind, in their top six for two players. I thought it was one. Now it's two with Paterka leaving. So, you know, that's an avenue right there where I think maybe number 9 alone isn't going to get the type of player we're talking about, but number 9 mixed in with some of the currency that you have in Rochester or in college, or I mean, the Sabres are considered to have one of the best prospect pools in the NHL. So maybe if number 9 doesn't exactly get it done, maybe number 9 and fill in the blank would help get it done. So, you know, maybe Bo Byram. You know, in some type of a trade. Elliot Friedman's talking about the Sabres haven't been getting the offers they feel they should get for Bo Byram right now. So that is on hold, and I would agree with that. Just like, you know, when they were trading Jack Eichel, they waited until they got something that they felt they could live with, and it took until November for that to happen. So I totally agree with that. If you're not getting equal value for what you feel you should get for Bo Byram, you shouldn't be trading him. So, you know, that's something I would agree with. You're in no hurry to. I mean, Bo Byram can't become an unrestricted free agent for a couple of years. I don't think he's going to break out into hives if he has to sign a one-year deal and stay with the Buffalo Sabres. He likes the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, he likes the players. He doesn't have a problem with any of that. He just wants to go to a place where he can be, get that number one defenseman ice time and be in those situations. If he's got to wait a year, I don't think he's going to be, you know, all that crazy about it.
Yeah, I brought it up earlier. The Ryan McLeod trade happened July 5th last year, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You still have some time here after free agency even begins, and you kind of can assess your situation. You know, how long do you think the Byram situation could drag out? I'll ask it this way, Paul. At what point would we say, okay, it looks like Bo Byram's staying in Buffalo? How is this something that could really go up to even camp time, beginning of the season?
I'm a type that never said. I mean, Jeff Skinner came, if I'm not mistaken, maybe in August.
Oh, yeah, right, that's right.
If I'm thinking back correctly, I know it was later in the summer. It could happen at any point. You know, you could be around, you know, before the holiday trade freeze or, you know, at the trade deadline or at any time, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. All of a sudden, teams need a defenseman with injuries and they decide, you know what, let's go back to Buffalo and talk about Bo Byram. And then all of a sudden, you've got a deal. So I think eventually there might be a deal, but we could still maybe be talking about this next summer, and I don't think it's a huge big deal if we are. Don't just make a trade for the sake of making a trade.
By the way, good memory. August 2nd, 2018, Jeff Skinner traded to the Buffalo Sabres. So good memory by Paul Hamilton right there. Okay, Paul, you got a chance to meet on Zoom with a couple of the two new Sabres players yesterday. I guess we'll start with Josh Doan, then we'll go to Michael Kesselring. What did you learn about and know about Josh Doan?
Well, and Josh Doan, he's a type of guy that was first year in the NHL last year, and of course he has the bloodlines. I mean, his dad is a institution in that franchise history, not in Utah. He didn't play in Utah, but with the Arizona Coyotes. And, you know, so you have the good pedigree there. Doan is the type of player, I don't know if you'll ever see him playing on a line with Tage Thompson, but Ray Ferraro, I was listening to him on his podcast yesterday because he saw a lot of his games, talked about how he felt Josh Doan was improving as the season went on because he was feeling his way through the NHL. And he says that's not uncommon with first-year players, you know, just trying to find their way. And he felt Doan was finding his way. He's got an excellent shot, and that's something. He's got good size. He's not afraid to use it on the forecheck, getting in on the forecheck. He, as he said, he likes to cause havoc and be in the middle of havoc. He kind of thinks that's fun. And the Sabres maybe don't have enough players who think causing havoc is fun. You know, Marchand thinks causing havoc is fun. Bennett thinks causing havoc is fun. And they're holding Stanley Cup. So, you know, you need different types of players. And you know, I could see him right now maybe playing with Krebs and Malenstein. But that doesn't mean that's his ceiling at 23 years old. Next thing you know, in a couple of years, he might be playing with McLeod, you know, and being on a shutdown line that's a two-way line. You know, Zucker's not going to be around forever, and that's where I kind of envision Zucker right now. So, you know, he could be maybe in that type of a role with Greenway eventually as he gets older. So, I think they've acquired a player. They need to get bigger. There's no question about that. The Florida Panthers have shown us that you know you can't have Team Munchkin and expect to be Stanley Cup champions. And they needed to get bigger. And I think Doan helps them to do that with some sort of an upside in this type of a player.
Do you know, did he mention about his dad and anything about the Sabres making a run at him maybe, about 8-10 years ago?
Yeah. Well, he didn't mention that, but he talked about it's hard to leave an organization that his dad was an icon in and that he grew up in basically because, you know, and he wound up going to Arizona State. to play college hockey, and he grew up in Arizona around that team and around those players. So it's a little hard to leave. I know Kesserling was emotional about leaving. Yeah. He's happy to come to Buffalo because he thinks he's going to get to play in a role that he wants to play in, in a top four. But at the same time, he's really grown a lot of good relationships with the Coyotes and with Utah. He really enjoyed the first year in Utah with the team. And he said it's a little emotional to leave. But he said, at the same time, I really am looking forward to the role that I might be trying to earn here and getting here with the Buffalo Sabres. Plus, he's from New Hampshire. His family's there. So he said it's only like an hour flight. He's never played this close to home. So he's really going to enjoy that. And he loves this arena. His first NHL goal was here against his former teammate, Devin Levi. And then last year, he got the Gordie Howe hat trick in one period. In the second period, he started off with a fight, then scored a goal, then had an assist before the period ended. So he did all that in one period in Buffalo. So he kind of enjoys being in Buffalo in this arena.
Sabres add a couple of players, a right shot defenseman. How does that change any of their thinking, you think, on either Bo Byram or the draft? I said to Brayton earlier, the NHL is a prospects draft. It's not like you need you fill a need like you do in football right away. But by making this trade, the J.J. Paterka trade, what he is out and what they got in, does that do anything for how they perceive what they want to do with Byram and or what they want to do with the number 9 pick?
Well, Darren Dreger's right. He said on our air talking to Marty and Brian Duff that it changed the dynamic of the trade because the Sabres were – like, it's all right, we're trading Bo Byram, but you're going to send us a good right-handed shooting defenseman. And he said that eliminated some teams. They didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't in the running anymore.
Makes sense, yeah.
He goes, but now that has changed. They've gotten that defenseman. Now they're probably looking for forwards. And some of those teams that were out are now back in. Yeah, and so that, I think, will help a little bit there. So that's an interesting dynamic, too, that it changes the dynamic of that trade also. Not that they wouldn't entertain taking on a defenseman if the defenseman were the right guy. I still think – I don't think it would be the end of the world if they traded Samuelson and added somebody else there. I don't see Clifton playing more than his contract year, which is one more year, even if that – so it wouldn't be the end of the world if a defenseman were still part of that trade.
So the other thing I'm reading, this is through reading through social media, and Bulldog had posted something about what Elliot Friedman had said, as you just mentioned, about Bo Byram. But here's another thing from Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. He makes reference to the Sabres are going to make a run, is the way he put it, at signing Alex Tuch. That's kind of a bit weird to me to put it that way. Does that mean that there's still some possibility here that, Alex Tuch is like, yeah, I don't really know if I want to do this. Or is that maybe just some wording that we're reading more into than we should, you think?
Yeah, I try not to read too much into things like that. I think Elliot Friedman tends to say what he means. He doesn't like try to hedge his bets. A lot of people try to hedge their bets saying, well, you can't hold me accountable for that because I didn't really say that. That's not Elliot Friedman. So he could mean that, but, Adams was pretty definitive when he talked about Alex Tuch that, Tuch wants to be here. He knows how important it is for the Sabres to sign him. He's like feels wanted. They've tried to let him know he is definitely a priority and definitely wanted. Now, will they come to terms? Will they be able to, one side might have a different version of what at the top end than the other side. Is it term? Don't forget, he'll be 30 years old when he signs his contract. Do you want to put an 8-year deal there, taking him to 38 years old? No, he might be one of those players like Ovechkin who is still very effective at 38. None of us know that, but that doesn't happen very often. I mean, these special players like Crosby and Ovechkin, it happens for, or Jagr, and there's others you can name, but it's not hugely common to still have all of the skill that you had at 30, at 38. So are you looking at a 5-year deal? Or is Tuch saying, look, I want to stay with the Buffalo Sabres, but I want an 8-year deal. And to me, Tuck has holds all the cards. They cannot afford to lose him. He knows that. I mean, he knows his value to this team, and it's huge. So to me, he kind of has all the leverage. So maybe you got to bite the bullet and give him 8 years if that's what it's going to take to re-sign him. Because if you do not re-sign him, I think you really put this whole thing backwards by a lot.
Paul, what do you make of some of the changes coming from the CBA, which appears to be done, and it's going to be formally announced, a new CBA between the NHL and the NHLPA? A couple of different changes. One of them is dress codes, actually, about dressing when they when players arrive at the arena. Another is actually the amount of term you can sign your own free agents will be reduced from 8 to 7, but only other teams can only sign you to 6, and a couple other things in there as well. The big one I like is the closing the loophole on the salary cap situation in the playoffs. But I'm curious your thought on the dress code situation and then the free agent signing situation.
I'm like, why? I'm kind of like, with the dress code, is it really that important? Like the other stuff you mentioned, yes. I mean, that's the players. All right, you've kind of taken a year off each one, so you're not tied up for as long. I understand that. I understand, you know, the adding two games and subtracting two preseason games. I don't like it. I think because of the quality of hockey, the season is way too long. It should be 68 games. But now with 82, maybe 84 games, it's always some one of the teams is 3 games in 4 nights or back-to-back. Or, you know, you always – it seems like you always have a tired team on the ice that has to play a different style of game just to get through that game to try to get 2 points. And I think the hockey is better. Like when you have an Olympics and you get back for like the first 2 games or so, the hockey is phenomenal. All the teams are rested. They're skating. They're flying. Maybe you're rusty and there are mistakes, but so what? Mistakes lead to goals, and people like to see goals. And the hockey is just great for a couple, maybe two, three, four days, and that's what you would get if you would reduce the schedule. But I know that's never going to happen because you're losing revenue then. You're losing all those gates and all those, you know, putting people in the stands. And so that's never going to happen. People care about money. They don't care about the quality of the product. And I think the quality of the product will suffer because of even just adding 2 games. They should be subtracting games, not adding. But this is the NHL, and people are not making money in the NHL, so you can't cut their revenue source even more.
Full-time e-bugs, by the way, apparently, are coming.
What's that now? I didn't hear
full-time
what you said.
Full-time e-bugs, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Emergency backup goalies are coming, according to the new CBA.
Isn't it amazing?
To a couple of reports I've read.
Isn't it amazing that that doesn't happen more? I mean,
I agree.
I mean, 2 injuries to a goalie, it just almost never happens. And, you know, goaltenders get knocked around in the crease. I know they try to protect them, but still, they get knocked around. They can get hit in the mask. They can get hit, anywhere. And they can get knocked back into the crossbar. It just is, and I'm glad it doesn't happen more. And I'm glad they're having a contingency for it. But it just amazes me that that doesn't happen more.
Yeah, by the way, I'm just curious to see who is the first NHL player to go full Mac Hollins on his way into an arena, if you get my drift, and wear all the crazy outfits and suits. I don't know what they're doing with the dress code. I haven't read that much about it. I mean, they're eliminating, you know, the dress code, but maybe there'll still be some sort of code because, yeah, I mean, you get kind of some crazy stuff going on with guys like Mac Hollins. And I'm not, you know, criticizing. I think it's kind of funny what he does. But the NHL has always had this different way of going about it. And I've read a lot of people are like, no, you're unique like that. Let's keep it like that. So it's an interesting debate, I guess, going on.
And to, you know, I think I've told you before, I really enjoy watching Caitlin Clark play basketball. So I watch her team in the WNBA. That's a big thing now. You know, like the WNBA fashion show coming in. It's like a really big thing. People, you know, the women dressing up and they find different looks and they try to have a different look each time. And they put a lot of thought and time into it. And apparently, now, I couldn't care less, but apparently fans enjoy that. That's great. If fans enjoy it, do it. I mean, if that's what fans want and they want to see it in the NHL, see individuality and coming in. And Matt Collins certainly was a fun look on game day coming. Sometimes not even game day, at training camp or whatever. You know, he had fun with the whole thing. So, yeah, have fun with it, whatever. It's not my cup of tea, but if that's what fans want and they enjoy it, do it. I have no problem with it.
All right, buddy. Well, strap yourself in for a long weekend. We'll be following along. You'll have some, you'll have plenty of things to cover down there in some way, shape, or form. We just don't know what that's going to be with the Buffalo Sabres starting tonight.
Yes, I mean the trades. I mean, no, we may get there and already trades. Yeah. I mean, I remember landing, I believe, in Minnesota for the draft, and as I got off the plane, Robin Regier was a Buffalo Sabre. They said, okay, let's start working on that. And apparently that was when Pegula just took over. Pegula and Ruff and Regier got in a plane and flew to, I believe, Alberta or Manitoba, wherever Robin Regier was, and actually talked him into waiving his no trade to come to Buffalo. And they sold it. And he said yes. And by the time I got to Minnesota, we had a trade to talk about right in the airport. So you just never know how this is going to break down.
I think that maybe I'm thinking back. The Lindros trade on draft day, like that's one of the more famous kind of moments of a draft, right? Like those guys getting together at the table and how all that went down. Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of, we talk about the centralized or decentralized draft. And having those guys all together and you see, oh, my God, something's going on. And, yeah, that's kind of the famous one I think about.
And they play games, too, knowing that the media is watching
that's
them.
Right.
And they
that's
get together just so that, oh, well, look at Danny Briere's talking to Kevin Adams. And they're like, where'd you have dinner last night? And we're being watched right now. But it was fun for us, too, because – we could line up that we were at like where the goal is in the offensive zone, but there was a wall there where we could line up and GMs actually would come over and chat. And it wasn't necessarily with microphones or anything like that. It was just to chat. And it gave you an opportunity to maybe meet with other GMs that you don't normally get to talk to, or GMs that you know but haven't seen in a while. And that was a really cool thing where you could interact with other GMs, scouts, or whatever right there on the draft floor.
Paul Hamilton, follow him tonight and all weekend, as always, at PHAM1717 and, of course, WGR550.com. Have fun tonight. We'll be following and listening along. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, that is Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. And, oh, you know what? I got to read you who brings you Paul every single time he's on. Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. So there you go. We will hear more from Paul throughout the day, tonight as well. But right now, we're going to take a timeout. And when we come back, yesterday, I brought something up on the end of the morning show with Joe. We were on the Extendo Sports, and it was about the Joe Sakic offer sheet. And a lot of you told me, and I didn't realize this, there was actually a documentary made. And then ironically, last night, bumping around, went to the Bisons game, came home. There were a couple other documentaries on last night. So kind of want to talk about that a little bit. A couple things I've watched recently you might really get into hockey-related. And another one that's not hockey-related that I just got to tell you all about watching this show that I saw recently and totally interesting for many reasons here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We'll be right back.
So yesterday I was on with Joe in the morning, and at the end of the show, we talked a little bit on the Extendo Sports about offer sheets. So a couple things about offer sheets, all right? First of all, something I went and just kind of took a look at to make sure when it comes to the Sabres, okay? The Sabres, they cannot offer sheet certain levels this year, okay? Because offer sheets are based on you have to have your own, the ability to have your own certain draft picks to compensate if you do actually wind up signing the player and taking him away. So, according to Puckpedia, which is actually where I went and looked at how they do this because they do a really good job of this, Puckpedia, they actually have it broken down of which teams are eligible to have certain offer sheets or not have other offer sheets. The Sabres are, they have the ability to offer sheet someone who's an RFA the maximum amount, which is $11.7 million and above. That's a lot. They'd have to give up 4 first-round picks. That would be something they have available to them. I don't see it happening, but just saying that is possible. However, the Sabres cannot, they're not eligible to offer the next 2 levels of offer sheets. Anything from 9.3 to 11.7 or anything from 7 to 9.3. So really the J.J. Paterka type of deal is not available to the Sabres to offer anybody out there. I mean, someone called up earlier and said, go offer Matthew Knies. You can't offer him 7.07 million to 9.3 on an offer sheet because AAV, because you don't have the necessary compensation. And the reason they don't have it is because they don't have their second round pick next year. It requires 2 firsts, the top level that they can't do, the number 2 overall level, I should say, requires 2 first round picks and next year's second. The 7.02 to 9.3 million sheet requires a first next year and a second next year and a third next year. They don't have next year's second round pick. They can't do it. They can, however, offer sheet someone from 4.68 to 7.02 because that only requires next year's first and next year's third. So if you're thinking of an offer sheet for the Sabres, we've been thinking the other way, right? Is JJ going to get offer sheeted? I don't think Jack Quinn will. I mean, I don't think who else is eligible for an offer sheet? Ryan McLeod, right? I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, you know, the Sabres would receive the compensation in return. We don't think the other way as much. I mean, people have thought about it and said it. We've been focused so much on JJ. But the Sabres can go offer sheet, guys. They just can't offer sheet them really anywhere from 7 million to 11.7 because they don't have the necessary compensation available to them without a second-round pick next year. You have to have your own second-round pick. It's kind of weird the way the NHL does it. Even if you trade for a second-round pick, you've got to kind of have your own, I guess. So I don't like that. We talked also about how Joe Sakic, terrific hockey player, Colorado Avalanche, mostly for his career, was offer-sheeted by the New York Rangers back in 1997. And the Avs weren't going to be able to match it. But the production company, owned by the same people that own the Avalanche, that year had made a movie called Air Force One with Harrison Ford. And, you know, as Joe said, famous line, get off my plane. And because of the money that came in from that movie, they were actually able to find the cash to be able to match the offer sheet, which was totally wild. So I brought that up yesterday, and several of you tweeted in at me, there's actually a documentary on that. It's called Saving Sakic. Pretty interesting, right? Pretty cool. I need to go watch this. I have not seen Saving Sakic. Have not watched it yet. I need to watch it. Bulldog said it dragged on a little bit at times, but it was still very informative. So I need to watch that. But there was one last night that I did wind up seeing because it was on last night. So last night went to the Bisons game. And with many people I work with at Odyssey, while others at Odyssey and were playing in the 11-day power play, Josh, you played last night, right? You played the 11-day power play?
Yes, I did.
My apologies for not bringing it up until now. How did that go for you guys?
We won. Owen got player of the game. He stood on his head quite a few times. Derek Kramer got a hat trick.
What?
Yeah, and I had two goalposts. So super
no
good
goals,
time for me.
Just two goalposts?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Great time for me. That's why I play goalie. But Owen outranks me in that department.
Well, so. I did not hit any goalposts, so I respect the hell out of your two goalposts. I just want you to know that, pal, okay?
I appreciate
it. Great job. How'd you feel after that?
Very sore. I actually cramped up. Like, my last shift ended a little early because my quads cramped up and I had to get off the ice. And thankfully, the nice trainer in the hallway helped me get my quads back up to speed. And I'm playing again tonight with Derek's team. I'll be in between the pipes tonight, though, so it'll be a little bit of a different feeling for me tonight. So, playing 9 to midnight if anyone wants to come out and watch us have a good time.
Yeah, that's great. Who did you guys play against yesterday?
The Western New York Media All-Stars, and we won once again. I think it was 15-11 was the final score, I believe. Somewhere around there.
I love it. Great job, man. That's awesome. Raising a lot of money. Tomorrow, this weekend, is the Ride for Roswell, and we have a lot of people here involved in that. You know that we've been promoting that. And you can ride with Bulldog and our team. I'm going to be out at the Ride for Roswell tomorrow and helping to kick off the event from UB. So if you're riding, you'll see me, and I respect the hell out of all of you doing that because I know that I'm not riding. I am talking. It's what I do. Maybe one of these years I'll ride. This is my kind of first introduction into the Ride for Roswell from this aspect. I know all about it from people who ride, and it's amazing what all of you are doing. Raising so much money. It's a super well-organized event. I can't wait to be a part of it tomorrow in my small capacity, but I'll be up on the stage at UB kicking it off for a lot of you and talking and then watching you do the... I got the easy job. You all have the hard job but the fun job, which is cool, and raising money, which is great. So if you're a part of that, really look forward to seeing people at UB tomorrow. I'll be a part of that. Bulldog will be riding. I know we have several riders here from WGR, so very, very cool, and Odyssey. So thank you so much. I retweeted Bulldog's post from earlier today. If you want to continue to donate to him riding in the Ride for Roswell, we have all that going on this weekend, and tomorrow morning we'll be there over at UB. So last night went to the Bisons game, like I said, and it was like they were like down 11-0. They came back. What was the final score? They were down 12-8 in the ninth, but they came back. They were down 11-0, and you know it was still a fun time being with a lot of people I work with and haven't seen maybe in a while here at Odyssey. Then when I went home, I'm like, all right, kind of bumping around, get on TV. And Max starts watching a documentary on Alex Ovechkin. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. What's it called? The Great Chase, I think it's called, something like that. And it was really cool. And they went through and showed, you know, the goals leading up to the ultimate goals where he breaks Wayne Gretzky's record, Gordie Howe, then Wayne Gretzky and all that. Right after that is the documentary, the E60 called Unrivaled. Have you seen it yet, Josh? The one on the Red Wings and Avalanche that came out a few years ago?
I haven't, but I've been meaning to see that one because it looks so good.
It does. It's pretty long, but in that kind of steered me away from it a couple times when it was on. I'm like, man, I don't have the time to invest. I want to watch the whole thing. But we're just hanging out together. I'm like, oh, let me tell you about it. And I'm just a sucker for telling my son about like the history of these things, right? That's part of the reason I love watching it last night and some of these other docs that come on, because not just is it the entertainment value, I get to watch and tell Max like, oh my God, I got to tell you what happened here and why this is. And here's the backstory. And if you watch it, you'll learn more. Like I kind of fill them in a little bit in the blanks, I guess, and get them into it. And I get to relive it that way. So that part is super cool for me. Man, it was really good. It was really good. Unrivaled. It examines the rivalry in the late 90s, 96, 97, especially between the Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings. And the hit that Claude Lemieux put on Chris Draper when he checked him into the bench area and like broke his face basically into a lot of pieces in a lot of ways. And Darren McCarty and everything went out. He literally McCarty and Lemieux, who these guys like this, they hated each other. We went after him. He came after the next year in the regular season, you know, beat him up basically. And they're on the stage together talking about this. And it was super cool watching it and seeing it through their lens and hearing the stories and talking about it and all the different backstories to it and the suspensions that came and Scotty Bowman and Lemieux meeting in a hallway and on a bus. How about that? Like, Bowman's on the bus on the team bus. He's the head coach of the Red Wings at the time. Lemieux walks by the team bus, and Bowman kind of steps off and says something to him as Lemieux's walking with his kid. And his kid, who's, by the way, being held, and that kid is Brendan Lemieux, who was drafted by the Sabres years later. And he hands the, he said, I handed the kid, my son, off to my wife. And he said, I put one foot on that team bus and said, you know, what do you got to say or something? And then he kind of laughed and said, because I knew all the tough guys were in the back. All the guys who just scored goals were in the front of the bus. So it was kind of funny. Really good documentary. Really, really well done. Enjoyed it last night. So that's one I watched last night, Unrivaled. And that was after the Alex Ovechkin documentary. The other thing that I've watched recently has nothing to do with hockey, but I watched it recently. Started watching on a plane, I think, and then finally finished the only 4 episodes on Netflix. There is a show on Netflix called Adolescence, okay? And I don't love watching stuff like this, but I kind of started, I watched the trailer. I'm like, all right, let me see. And the reason I don't love watching it is because I have an adolescent for a son. And it's tough to watch if you have an adolescent for a son. I think it's tough to watch for anybody. But if you have an adolescent kid, I think it's even more tough to watch. And the gist of the story is it's in the UK and a younger boy, I think he's, 13 at the time is what it is. He is, he's accused of murdering a classmate. And that's what the show is about. But there's only 4 episodes. But what's really interesting to me, so I'm watching this. And I think you get through the first episode and you're like, did he do it? Did he not do it? They don't really follow the story of that. Each of the 4 episodes is kind of about how it impacts all of the people in the lives of this boy and the family and the cops investigating and the classmates. And it's super interesting. Very dark. Not something I will tell you that I recommend if you don't love things like that. Like, don't watch it. But at the same time, if you know what you got going in, you say, okay, like, this is tough to watch, but I'm going to watch it because it's a good lesson. And one of the lessons, it's really kind of a lot about social media and kids being on social media and the things that they're dealing with today that maybe we don't know as parents. And I learned some things about, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Like, that's what kids are, that's what that means on social media. That's what that means on Instagram. And wow, right? I mean, a lot of lessons being taken away. But the other really interesting thing about totally unrelated to all that is the way it was shot. So Josh, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this, but I'm watching this show. And the first episode, I'm like, boy, there's something weird about how they're filming this. And then I realized it. It's all done with one camera. All of it.
Oh, those are the best.
They're following a person. Yep. Someone else then, they go through like 3-4 minutes with that person. Someone walks by a hallway. They transition away from the person they're on and just keep following the other person now and go through the next 5-10 minutes with them. And it keeps happening.
The movie 1917 was filmed the same way. And it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was revolutionary at the time because it was like a full movie was shot with one.
Yes.
Like one shot. And like it just, stuff like that is awesome. I love watching where it's just like you can tell like you're just like in the perspective of one person. And like you said, then you, all of a sudden you shift, but it doesn't feel like you're shifting because you're still in the same scene. And it's so good.
Yeah, and that's what happened throughout. All 4 episodes are like this. So it opens up and they're following something happening and they're following a person up the stairs, into the bedroom. You know, it's very, you know, like that kind of action-packed. They're not switching camera angles. But then even when the kind of scene is over, it's still the same camera because then they follow that person down the stairs and go outside and follow the next person who's going down the road in their car, a different person, and they're in the car with them. It's really wild. And I've never seen it like that. And people said, well, it's done like that intentionally. Well, of course it is, right? I mean, you wouldn't think otherwise. But it kind of adds to, like you said, the perspective and the intimacy of what you're watching. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there because it was something I finally finished. I started watching it a few weeks ago. And got through one episode, then another maybe last week, and then finally got through all 4 episodes. And if you have an adolescent kid, it's a good lesson to watch it. It's also very tough to watch. So I'm just giving you that fair warning going in. All right, that being said, enough of that. We'll come back and wrap up and preview tonight one more time. The NHL draft starting tonight at 7 p.m. here on WGR. And of course, the Sabres picking 9th overall. We'll wrap up your Friday as we head into NHL draft night here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, wrapping up your week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a lot more coming your way. Of course, Chopin the Bulldog, 3-7. Right after that, it's the NHL Draft and coverage here on WGR. We'll have Brian Koziol and Brayton Wilson anchoring it from back in our Amherst studios. Paul Hamilton will be down at One Bills Drive. But before then, 12-3 today, Derek and Zach coming your way, as they have so often, and the aforementioned Derek Kramer with his 3 goals last night in the 11-day power play. Congratulations, first of all, and can you recall and remember each goal in your mind as they happen, and how much will you embellish when you talk about them?
First of all, ow.
You're sore, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing I wanted to start with, ow. The first one was... The best way I can liken this is terrible Pele. I had to kick the puck to myself twice, Sal. It was not pretty.
Huh?
If there's one thing...
You got to show some athleticism to do that, though.
Yes, but entirely the entire time I'm panicking internally in my head. I'm like, don't lose this puck, don't lose this puck, don't lose this puck. I did not lose the puck, and I scored.
Yep.
So that was nice. The second one was it was just a blind shot, like using a screen. There were 2 guys in front of me. I've been poorly trying to deke all night. It wasn't working, but I kept trying to do it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot this thing, try to throw them off. And it worked. The third one was a perfect pass from Mike Lesikowski. And after missing on, I think, the last 4 attempted passes that he had for me, I finally got it and buried it.
Okay.
That one was just a quick shot, 5-hole. So yeah, I'm a volume shooter, Sal. I think I probably had like at least 20 shots in the game, and I only scored 3 times. So that should say more about me than anything. But I did it. I said I was going to score more than anyone on the GR staff, and I did it.
You did. You were the leading scorer for goals?
Well, not for the entire team, but for the people that get paid here.
Okay. I love it. That's great. Although one player on that team can't score goals, well, he can, but he's saving goals. And from what Josh told me, Owen was outstanding.
He was. And typically when you score only 15 goals in an 11-day shift that's going over the course of 3 hours, you don't win, except for when you have Owen Parker.
Right.
So
what was the final score?
15-11.
Wow. Only 11 goals allowed in a how long?
3 hours.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, there were a couple of them. Like he was all over the place. Like there was one he kind of like sprawls back, reaching back with the stick and the blocker to make a save. There were a lot of times where everyone was just going, "Oh!" Like
yeah, you know what it reminds me of. I've said this before, like, you know, and I play rec league sports now as I get older, and you know, you try, and I've played in like flag football leagues with some guys who really, you know, they played high level college football, even had cups of coffee in the NFL. And you're like, when you're on the field with them, you realize how different they are than everybody else. You know what I mean? And what they do. And I think that's kind of what you probably saw last night from Owen, right? And these guys that Josh just talked about from the other team that they're when they were on the ice together, like you just realize how different these people are when you're playing with them and up close and personal.
There was a kid, I think he had Junior Sabres apparel with him. That was a terror that we had to deal with. I actually had to play defense. So I kind of liken myself to...
It's not something you do.
Yeah, like, it's not something I do well.
You're the J.J. Paterka of the WGR team, right? You're just like, they're like, hey, great offensive game. He led the team. Where's the defense, pal? We're going to trade you.
Yep, I'm getting traded. Sorry, guys.
It's all good. We don't want that. Hey, how do you feel? Could you, if I said to you now, you're going to play, you got to go back on the ice. When's the quickest you could do it to play?
I mean, something? I don't have a choice. I'm playing at 9 o'clock tonight. So,
oh, there you go. You're doing it tonight. Why don't you give a plug for? Why don't you give a plug for that tonight for anybody who is listening and wants to head over to the 11-day power play?
If anyone wants to not take part in the nightlife, instead going to Harbor Center to check us out, myself, Josh Schmidt, TJ Luckman, we're all pulling the double duty from playing yesterday and into today. So that'll be fun. Mike Lesikowski will be back with us as well. Speaking of people that played last night. And, we're going to have ourselves some fun. The team that I run, it's called the Ankle Benders. We've raised over $10,000 as a team again this year. So, and that's the part that's the most important, you know.
Awesome.
We're raising money for cancer research at Roswell Park, Make-A-Wish Western New York, Camp Good Days, and Oshai Children's Hospital.
And tomorrow, ride for Roswell. I'll be there to kick it off. Lots of respect for everybody riding and tons of respect for you guys for playing. By the way, Zach, I didn't mean to exclude you, but hi, and have a good show and happy weekend to you too as
Thanks,
well.
Thanks, bud. Have a good weekend as well. I didn't play hockey. I was watching Netflix last night.
I was watching.
Well, we are going to hear from you shortly. You got Derek and Zach coming up 12 to 3. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. Have a great weekend, everybody. Maybe I'll see you out at Ride for Roswell tomorrow. Go and watch the 11-day power play tonight.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.